and just go have a little Bible study here. But I want you to understand the book of Hebrews is wrote to Hebrews. Now, if you are of the tribe of one of the 12 tribes, and you're a Hebrew, if you're a descendant from Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, you're a Hebrew. People say Abraham was a Gentile. No, he was a Hebrew. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham the Hebrew. He is a Shemite. And he come through that lineage. You are a Gentile or a Jew. You know that. Hebrews is wrote to Hebrews. Well, now the second thing I want you to understand, Paul did not write Hebrews. Now, most of your Bibles have the epistle Hebrews written by Paul or some nonsense as that. Paul did not write Hebrews. You'll hear preachers say, Paul said this in the book of Hebrews. No, Paul didn't. Say, well, who did? God. So, how do I know Paul didn't write it? Well, we've been through this, but we're going back through it. How do I know Paul didn't write Hebrews? Well, before we get reading Hebrews, look back in 2 Thessalonians. I hope this ain't boring you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And Kevin went over the verses, so I'm not going to go through them, but you can check it out in every epistle that he writes. He starts it out with his name. It's like we sign a letter at the end of the letter. Paul signed his at the first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand. The greeting, salutation, he's greeting. He is with Paul with my own hand, which is the token in some of the epistles. It says, every epistle, so what? I write. So, in every epistle that he writes, he puts his name at the first, the salutation. And you can go through them. But not only that, in every epistle that Paul writes, he starts it out, I, Paul, and then he says, grace and peace. And he ends it with grace. He starts them with grace, I, Paul, the salutation in every epistle. He starts it with grace. He ends it with grace. Check it out. Then you come to the book of Hebrews. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. What's the first word in the first verse? God. Somebody say, Paul. God.
I'm reading the wrong page.
Oh. I thought somebody... Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God. Well, is this an epistle? Did Paul, he couldn't have wrote it or he lied in 2 Thessalonians. Now, I heard one guy say, well, but he wrote that after he wrote 2 Thessalonians. No, the evidence is there. Hebrews was wrote a lot earlier than what people think. In my opinion. But look in chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, what salvation are they talking about? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. What salvation did the Lord talk about? What gospel did the Lord preach? He preached the kingdom gospel. And you'll find that salvation in Luke chapter 1. They was to be saved from their enemies. And that's according to prophecy, when the king shall come and deliver them from their captivity and from their enemies. And that's what made Christ to become a stumbling stone, because he is the king, but they couldn't see why he's going to die. But look on. Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, that great salvation, and was confirmed unto us. Did the writer of Hebrews include himself in that? By them that heard him. Them would be the 12. Him would be the Lord that began to speak about salvation. So the Lord begins to talk about salvation. The 12's there, and the 12 confirm it to the writer of Hebrews. So the writer of Hebrews has to be associated with the 12 and know them pretty good. Okay? Paul couldn't have wrote it. Now, I want you to go to chapter 9, and here's some other reasons. I went through the book of Hebrews. There's 50, 60 different verses out of the book of Hebrews that is a direct contradiction to the Apostle Paul's doctrine. You couldn't put Paul in here with a magnifying glass. I mean, look, folks, you can't, if somebody said, yeah, but he's writing to Hebrews, he's not writing to the body of Christ. He includes himself in the verses. He includes himself in the promises that's made. He can't have both. And that's what the denominational system wants. They want both. They don't want their inheritance. They want all of it. And they're not going to get all of it. But look in Hebrews chapter 9, begin in verse 26. Hebrews 9:26, for then must he oft have suffered, Christ, since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once in the end of the world. Now, what world is he talking about, folks? It's been 2,000 years since the Lord came and died on a cross. 2,000 years. What do you mean, appeared at the end of the world? Well, look back in Hebrews. I should have told you to stay there. Hang on to chapter 9. Come back to chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2 again. And notice in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the what? The world to come, whereof we speak. The book of Hebrews is about something that is to come, and it's the world to come. Christ appeared at the end of a world. Why? There's a world that they were going into. Look in chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, notice what he says. In verse 4. Now here's a verse that they want to twist and make it sound something else. We just take it what it says. For it is impossible. Something is going to be impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost by the baptism with the Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. What is the world to come that they were expecting? That great salvation into that kingdom. That was their rest. That was their salvation. That's what they wanted, to be saved from their enemies and enter into the rest of God. It's like the Old Testament covenant to the nation of Israel. He said, if you'll keep my commandments, you'll be a kingdom of priests unto me, a holy nation. And he said, you'll enter in unto a rest in the Canaan land. You'll be at peace. They look for a kingdom. When Solomon took the kingdom and went in there, and he ruled over all the kings of the earth out there. The Bible said he had rest. It was a time of rest. It was a time of peace. It was a time of prosperity. He made silver as stones in the Jerusalem. And on the thing goes. And they were the head of the nations, but they rebelled. And that Old Testament, that old covenant, that old nation, that old world was coming to an end, and a new world was here at the door, and Christ appeared at the end of the world of the law, at the end of the world of war, at the end of the world of what they knew, and he was offering them a new world. The kingdom is at hand. And the book of Hebrews is all about that. Now look with me. One other thing. Look over in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And notice what he says. In Hebrews chapter 12. And notice this thing in verse 28. Wherefore we. He included himself. Receiving a what? Kingdom, which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Look back with me and notice this thing. So it's a kingdom that they were looking for. Look in chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, this is, has to do with the new covenant. He said in verse 8, he said, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Well, they don't know him today. We're not a part of this kingdom. This is that kingdom on this earth. He said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now watch verse 13. He said, for that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He put it away. It's gone. There is no covenant. We're not a New Testament church. We're a New Testament church. God never made a covenant to save people like you and me. God made a covenant with Israel, and the Gentiles in prophecy would come to Israel and be saved by joining them and being a proselyte of their religion, and they would serve them and God would bless them. But bless your soul, Israel today is lo and my, not my people. God is not dealing with one nation today. God's dealing with all nations today. God would have all men to be saved. The old has vanished away, and the new hadn't came yet. Now back in Hebrews chapter 9, people go in here, and by the way, you remember where I was reading in Hebrews 6? Before I pass that up, it's impossible. Something was impossible. And these people, in verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If here's what's impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Do you realize if they turn and they're back on the Lord, if they took of the mark of the beast, if they fell away after having all that God gave them, the baptism with the Spirit, seeing the signs, tasting the world to come, and then they turn their back on them, you can't get them saved. If they lose their salvation, they can't get it back. It's like they're selling their birthright. In fact, look in chapter 12. You know, I'm just going as the rabbits jump up, I'm running them. We're just going to chase rabbits today in the book of Hebrews. I try to have a sermon with points, but sometimes, you know, you go down in a hole and four or five rabbits is in there, so I'm most fine. But look in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, notice what this man, Esau, he said, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator. He was a profane, or a profane person as Esau. He was a fornicator. He's an idolater. And he said, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He counted it nothing. He counted his flesh more important than his birthright, his inheritance. And folks, when people in the tribulation, they can't buy, they can't sell. If they turn from the truth and they quit trusting God and they count their flesh more important than their inheritance and that kingdom, that world to come, and they sell their birthright, right, they will not get it back. Esau didn't either. Look in the next verse. For we know, verse 17, how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. If you lose it, it's gone forever. So God knew you couldn't keep it. So what did he do? He sealed you. And he sealed you until the day of redemption. And the seal not only keeps you in Christ, it keeps the world out. You cannot be contaminated by this world. God Almighty sees you as he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. And boy, that blows my mind. To think, by the way, reason I ain't got a towel on, I woke up this morning and it was about 80 degrees in my house. My air conditioner went out last night. But have no fear, Joshua's here. He's my neighbor. He's the man. So if you ride by there and you see Joshua down there, and don't say, oh, he's down there on the Sabbath day. That was yesterday when Kevin was bush hogging. Not. So I was sitting there and I was trying to eat my grits this morning, tie on, had the paper towel keep dripping on you, sweat running down my forehead. And I said, Lord, I know I ought to wear one, but I'm not. And I jerked that thing off and I didn't even put it back on, so here I am. Feels pretty good. You might not get me back in one for a while. But Hebrews, we're sealed. God fixed it so you can't touch it. He knew we'd mess it up. So he fixed it where you'll always be saved if you're saved. And that's why I always make that statement. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to, and I'm going to hell, heaven, whether I want to or not. Can't do it. Now, I've had a lot of some people, not maybe not a lot, but I've had some to tell me to go there, but I say I can't. Can't do it. I'm like a cork in water. You can't sink him down. He's going to pop back up. I can't go down. I'm going up. But these people could lose their salvation. These people could sell their birthrights, their inheritance, for their own flesh. But you can't. Aren't you happy about that? Now look back in chapter 9. Just some things. In verse there he said it appeared at the end of the world. That'd be the end of the world of that old covenant, the old law. That he said is vanishing, waxing old, vanishing away. And by the way, the new law of the New Testament was Christ. And he gave them the commandments. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And them's the commandments of the New Testament. And that's how he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And their righteousness had to exceed the righteousness of the Old Testament. How? By keeping the commandments of the new. He said, you have heard that it's said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, there's the new law. Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's more severe. That's more, it's harder. So that's the New Testament. But you know what Paul says about you? Look back with me. Hang on and turn back to Romans and look in Romans. Look in, let me get there. I think it's in chapter 4. Look in Romans chapter 4. And when you broke the law, it brought something. Look in verse 15. Because the law worketh what? Wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. If there's no law, is there transgression? Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Right? Can they hold you accountable for breaking something that there is no law for? Look with me in chapter 7. In chapter 7. In chapter 7, notice what he says. In verse, he's talking about the law. He said in verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Then the law punished us. The law brought about death. Where was that death at? It was at Calvary and the body of Christ, because the body of Christ bore the wrath of God and the body of Christ died. You died with him, and God judged you when he judged Jesus Christ. So the law cannot do no more to me. I'm already dead by the law. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 19. Galatians 2:19. "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am" what? "Crucified with Christ." Not for Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Folks, he says, "I am crucified with Christ." That's that old man. That old man was put to death as far as God is concerned. That old man is crucified. I am crucified. He said, "Nevertheless, I live." That's the new man. I have a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's an inward man now. And in the inward man, that inward man is created in righteousness and true holiness. And it's after the image of him that created him. God sees Jesus in me. Don't you understand? And that's security. Well, I'm dead to the law. Why? The law's done all it can do to me. It's done punished me. It's done put me to death. How many times we've used that illustration? Man goes to the electric chair or the table and they put him to death for a crime. And you say, "Justice is served." Then all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, "Hey, but wait a minute. He committed another murder over here. He done something else." Well, we done put him to death. Yeah, but he ought to be punished for that crime too. He's already dead. He's done. There is no more you can do to him. Folks, we died with Christ. We were buried with him and we are raised with him. There's no more the law can do to me. That's eternal security. Look in Hebrews. In Hebrews again, chapter 9. He said, "And it is appointed unto man," verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto" what? So Hebrews, salvation is when? Huh? How about the second time? Which would be the second coming. He's going to appear. Who's he going to appear to? Well, he said the second time he's going to appear to unto them that look for him. Who's going to be looking for him? Turn back and look at Paul in Romans chapter 11. Now my throat's sort of closing up on me. And so it'd been doing that. I made broadcast yesterday and I figured I'd have a tough time. So I'm But look in Romans chapter 11. Notice what he says in verse 25. Romans 11, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved as a nation. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." They get their sins taken away at the second time, which is the second coming of Christ. All right, he comes. He comes the second time, and it's unto salvation. Well, what about your salvation? Where did you die? Where was you buried? Where was you raised with him? He said, "I am crucified with him." Been at the cross, wasn't it? So he dies. Then he appears here to Paul. And he's going to appear here for the church, which is his body. Then you have the trib, and then the second coming. Israel's salvation, when they get their sins, is over here. All Israel shall be saved. But look in Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 59, now that's not all Israel without exception, because all Israel without exception will not be saved. There'll be some of them that will not. But look what he says. Verse 20. Isaiah 59, verse 20. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." Who's he coming to? Unto them that turn from transgression. The sin of that day, the sin unto death. John says there is a sin unto death. And the people that turn from taking the mark of the beast, and they turn from the Antichrist, then that's the ones that will begin to look for him. And those are the ones that will have salvation over here. That's what Christ meant when he said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Ye shall see the abomination of desolation." And he said, when you see that, flee, turn from it, get out of the mountain, up to the mountain, go out of the city. Why? Because you can lose your salvation. But thank God, we're gone. We'll be taken out. In here, it's grace. In here, we're sealed. In here, there is no losing you salvation. In here, you're in the body of Christ. You live in the best dispensation in the Bible. I hear people say, "Boy, I wish I lived back in Christ's day. Christ wouldn't have touched you with a 10-foot pole. He would have ignored you just like he ignored that woman that come and said, 'Have mercy on me, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil.'" And the Bible said he answered her not a word. He just kept walking. Just kept on. Finally, his disciples come and said, "Lord, send her away." How is that woman shut her mouth? She's aggravating, ain't she? She's just so persistent. Good Lord, I'm stirring up trouble. Send her away, for she crieth after us. He turns to her and he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said, it's not right to take the children's bread, which is the gospel of the kingdom, and to cast it to dogs. Called her a dog. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from a rich man's table, the king's table. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not eating crumbs today. I'm not waiting for Israel to drop some crumbs. I'm not going out here trying, and I believe we ought to try to help people in need. Of course, I believe America ought to help America first. Just to say that. You know, ought to clean our own country up and. But I believe in helping. I believe in another country. But God is not blessing nobody for blessing Israel. He does not even recognize the Israel that is over there. They're not the Israel of God. They're not God's special people. God's special people are buried among the nations and nobody knows where they're at. Because if Satan knew where the bloodline was at, he'd try to defile it. But let me show you this, and I'm going to close. It's 20 minutes to 12 by our time. Not by my time. I got a couple more minutes before 12. But I want you to look at something with me. And notice in Hosea. Now, Hosea is one of those books. It's 14 chapters. You know, you go to Zechariah and you go turn to your left and you go through Amos and you'll come to Joel. Then you'll come to Hosea. You'll cross them streets there. Well, yeah, it's right after Joel. I'm going backwards. I'm in reverse. Yeah. But look in Hosea. And notice Hosea chapter 3. Now here's a couple verses. And then there's another verse that I want to read that sort of blows your mind. But notice what he talks about. Notice, I'm going to read, begin in verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of a friend, yet an adulteress. That's like the old Israel. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods. And love flagons of wines. They're like a worship. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and for half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for other man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, and without a sacrifice. And they don't have one now. Without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. They haven't yet, because they're still abiding in that. Without these things. But after that, they're going to return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. That'll be during that kingdom. Now, the ephod is a sacred vestment. is worn by the high priest. They don't have that. Teraphim is like an object of worship. Judges 17:5. So they don't have all of this stuff. Now turn over to chapter 6. In chapter 6, something's going to cause them to do this. Come, let us return unto the Lord. You remember what John the Baptist, he come on the scene. Prepare ye the, make his path straight, the way of the Lord. And he's preparing people. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Do you know how a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day? It's been 2 days. That third day they get revived. And they get healed. Folks, we're close. All I'm trying to get you to see, you are special. And everything he did, Paul said he loved the church and gave himself for it, the church. Paul didn't deal with the kingdom. He dealt with the mystery. He dealt with the revelation that God gave him about you. And he dealt with the church. Did Christ give himself for Israel and Peter and them? Yes, he did. The blood of the New Testament. But Paul said he gave himself for the church. Two different ministries. Two different programs, two different inheritance, two of everything. I hope you got something out of it. Thank you for coming. Shake hands with one another, and may the Lord bless you.